Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
I am here. I'm Paul Zeiss. I'm here solo. We get you a little bit of soul food to get started. Soul food, earth, wind, and fire, always good for your soul. And of course, it's Friday. By the looks of the roads and by the looks of what's going on around here, city limits, it kind of feels like everybody has decided today is a holiday as well.
Yeah, I noticed that. And I even said before I left the house today, is anybody working today? It didn't look like anybody was on the road driving by whatsoever, and it was an easy commute today.
Exactly. It's one of those things where I would say it is definitely a holiday for most people because it just feels like there's nobody out there on the roads. There's nobody working. There's nobody driving around. And, of course, that's the beauty of a you know, there are some people that were complaining about July 4th being on a Thursday, and I'm like, why? It gives you a four-day weekend.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
For most people.
Not us.
And there are some people that say, well, I have to work on Friday. So do I. But a lot of companies give you off, and if you've got vacation days or, you know, personal days or whatever, you got PTO or whatever you got. I'm assuming a lot of people are using that.
Yeah, I had an enjoyable day yesterday, Paul. How about you? We had a cookout at the house, and a lot of the family came over. And at 9 o'clock, right before the start of the fireworks, guests who made an appearance at the Bechtold household.
Starkey?
None other than Joe Starkey.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, so he got a chance to meet my family. They were excited to meet him, meet some of my friends who were over. So he had a good time.
That was good. First of all, starting off at 4 a.m. was a little different for me, so I was on fumes by about 8:30 at night. But I did go to the Pirate game yesterday, and, you know, I sat in the seats. And let's just say it was a little less enjoyable.
Didn't seem like there were that many people there.
Well, it was really hot, but we can actually start there. We're going to do a six-pack here. Let's start at my experience going to the Pirate game because there's probably going to be a little bit of old man yelling at cloud. Go. You know, I often sit in the press box. So, you know, for the last 25 years, almost all the times that I've gone to games, in this town at least, I sit in the press box, whether it's Penguin games, whether it's Pirate games, whether it's Steeler games, you know, because I'm working. But every so often, I'll venture out and get tickets. And here's what drives me insane about people. Now, first of all, usually there's an usher at the top of every flight of stairs who's got a little sign that says, wait till there's a break in the action to go to your seat. Well, I guess because it was a holiday yesterday, and I'm assuming they had to get paid, you know, time and a half or something, they had it seemingly a lot less ushers there. And there were none that were right there at the top of the stairs where I was sitting. I will never understand why people don't get that. Baseball lends itself to having a break every, what, 10, 11 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
In between innings. What is so hard about waiting until 10 or 11 minutes to the end of the inning, then you leave, or then you come back? But the entire game, it was just a flow of people up, down, up, down, up, down. And I was trying to watch the game, and I was sitting close to the owl. So I'm trying to watch the game, but instead I'm watching a sea of humanity going up and down the stairs.
Well, that, and it's the worst is when people have to get into your row.
Right.
And you have to constantly get up, get out. Excuse me. I get annoyed after a couple times.
I don't mind that. In between innings.
In between innings, but during the game.
I love the people who get up where there's, you know, and here's how ridiculous it is. So the Pirates, you know, it went to extra innings, right? In the 8th, 9th, and 10th innings, there were people that were getting up in the middle of the inning or with one out, or better yet, with two outs. Getting up and trying to get out and moving around, it's like, are you here to watch a game? What are you doing?
It's ridiculous.
What are you doing? Once we get to the half inning, have at it. You know, I went up and got a beer. I ran up, you know, here's what I did. I got a beer when I started. When I walked in the stadium, I got a beer, right? Went to my seat, drank the beer, whatever. Say over four innings. Then, in the middle of the fifth, I got up as soon as the final out of the fifth, the final out of the top of the fifth. I got up, ran up, got a beer, came to the top of the steps, and because I was sitting on the owl, I had the unique ability. Waited. Someone got a hit or something, you know, so. Now they get the ball and they're throwing it in, and while they're just throwing it in and nothing's going on, I was back in my seat before the next pitch.
Yeah, that's when you take the time to get up, and when there's a pause in the action that you know is going to be probably 15 to 30 seconds.
Yes.
Not when it's mid at bat or guy just doubled down the line, drove in a run, oh, let's all get up and start moving around. I feel the same way about it. It bothers me. It really does annoy me. But I'm also somebody who will eat before the game, doesn't get anything during the game, really, unless it's a very hot day and you have to run up and get water. But that'll only be at inning breaks. Like, I have friends, well, it's the third inning. Let's go get food. And then they come back and it's halfway through the fourth. Well, now we want to go get some ice cream. So let's get ice cream in the sixth inning. You're not even watching the game at that point. And I know that there's some people that are like that too, but whatever. To whose own?
Well, I just don't get it. I mean, where are you going?
Well, and at the same token, I'm sure that they would argue, well, there's no vendors anymore that come up and down the aisles anymore and sell anything, because there's not. And, like, I know that they're understaffed usher-wise. Like, I've been told that they are. And, so, I mean, especially on the 4th of July, it's a little bit surprising, but I think they stock up more whenever there's more people expected. Like tonight for Bucko Luau weekend, I'm sure they'll go all hands on deck.
Right. But I'm
the 4th of July?
But my point is,
why not?
Why not be courteous?
Right.
We've lost the ability to be courteous. Or actually, I don't want to say the ability to. I think we've just lost, like, most people don't value that anymore.
Well, it's a selfish world.
It is.
It's become a very selfish world.
But it's like, all you have to do, you know, in baseball, all you have to do is wait till the half innings.
Yeah.
Then,
it's not,
I mean,
a long time.
There was one couple, okay? There was one couple that were sitting about, I don't know, 10 or 12 rows ahead of me, okay? They had to have walked past me no less than 10 times. Like, what are you doing? And I wouldn't care what you're doing if you were doing it at the half innings. But they weren't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it just drives me ballistic.
Because
I love going to the games, watching the game. I'm walked in just about every single pitch unless the score is, you know, a blowout or whatever. And that just distracts me a little bit. And it's unnecessary distractions. And I don't see a lot of signs that say, please wait for the end of the half inning or for the end of this at bat. I know some places there are, but I think that it's partly that know, it hasn't been happening a lot as of late, and it makes people think that they can just move as freely as they want to, no matter what the situation in the game might be.
Well, I mean, I think that's the point.
It's just a courtesy and etiquette.
Just be courteous.
Thing.
Have etiquette, you know? We just don't have the ability to do that anymore. For whatever reason, it's like something we don't value. People are just basically in their own world, and whatever affects them is all they care about. But I was amazed. And that's why often, Austin, when I go to a Pirate game on tickets, I just sit out in the little bar out there
in
center field.
Yep.
Because I just, all that stuff, I just don't want to deal with it.
I do that all the time.
At least out there, I'm standing, you know, you're standing right next to the outfield wall or whatever, and people aren't walking in and out and walking in front of you and all that stuff.
I always try to get a seat out there.
Whatever, either way, yeah. I'm just saying, that's why if I do go on tickets, I don't care where my tickets are, usually, I'll just sit out there, you know?
Even if you have, like, lower level tickets.
Well, I was in the lower level, yeah. And I was on the third baseline, but it doesn't matter. When we went tonight when we threw the first pitch out,
right?
I had tickets right behind home plate. That's
seats.
Different because nobody's walking in front of you there. But that's like four sections. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like four sections. And so I'm just saying, you know, we just say it's courteous and etiquette. You know, there's an etiquette to it. Just like when you golf. Fix your little divot. Your tee breaks, right?
Yeah, pick it up, throw it away.
Put it in a little garbage can, or at least, you know, even just throw it in the woods or whatever. But like the other day when I played golf, every tee box had like 9,000, you know, broken tees and just laying around. It was ridiculous. You know?
Be quiet when someone's taking a shot.
Move at a play at a reasonable pace.
Reasonable pace.
You know?
Don't let the music blare too loudly.
I mean, I always am amazed when, like, I'm stuck behind a group and I watch them up on the green. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what are you doing up there that takes that long? I mean, it's literally like, you know, guys that are playing each other for $1 or $2 are acting like they're playing for $20,000. You know?
We do sound a little bit like old man yelling at cloud, but it's the truth.
It's the truth. And I often say this, man. I often say this, like, with that. You better be playing for $25,000 if you're taking this long on every single green. It's ridiculous. You know? That's why, Austin, I play whenever I have chances to play golf. I go to Cedar Brook, you know. I mean, you know, Cedar Brook sponsors our show, but I love the course. I love both courses. John, he does a great job with both courses. I go there and I tell him, put me first off the tee. And say the first tee time is 7 a.m., right? I say, let me go out at 6:45.
Yeah, because you play quick.
Because my group plays quick. You know, people know if you're playing with me, first off the tee at Cedar Brook, guess what? We're not doing all this nonsense where, you know what I mean? We're going to play ready golf. We're going to hit the ball. When you get to the green, we don't need to mark every single putt unless there's one that's in the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If, you know, there's a couple of us on the green and there's somebody, you know, slapping it around still in the fairway, putt your ball up. We're not going to, well, we got to wait for him to come up to the green. Then we got to decide who's the furthest away and all that stuff. Line up your putt, putt it up. When he gets on the green, you know, by that time, we don't have to do all that stuff. And guess what? Paul Alexander plays with us all the time. He shoots in the 70s, right?
Right.
My buddy Tim, we call him Pizza Tim, you know, from Candido's Pizza. He's a guy that gives us, he's put it this way. If there's a foursome to be had at one of our radiothons or contests, he always bids on it and gets it. So, you know, we've become friends over the years. Guess what? He shoots in the low 80s. You know what I mean? It ain't like, well, you know, we have to do this and this is in order to play well. We're not sacrificing playing well, right? We're just getting rid of all the unnecessary nonsense that stuffs up a golf course. It's the same concept, you know what I mean? Just be courteous. It's not hard. So yesterday, sitting at the Pirate game, I'm thinking to myself, what are these people doing? Where are they going? That's a good question, Austin, too. Where are they going that they have to leave their seats 15 times?
To the bathroom, to get food, to get a drink, to go meet people.
Right, but that many times? I don't get it.
I know people that will get up in the middle of the game two or three times to go get food.
No, that's fine. Just do it at the half inning, and I don't care what you do.
It's reasonable.
Is that an unreasonable ask?
No, it's not at all. At least it shouldn't be.
All right, good. So now I got that rant off my chest. I enjoyed the game. Just, you know, I love being at PNC Park. You know, I love the food, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is that whole part of the experience just sort of takes away from it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's how. Anyway, crack open another one. Tuesday night, they took Jared Jones out of the game with what they described as lat discomfort. Yesterday, I did the morning show with Jeff Hathorn, and I said these very words, Austin. Didn't I say, all right, well, I guess you weren't producing the show, but I said these very words.
On Tuesday?
Yesterday morning, I did the morning show.
Yeah, the morning show.
This was Tuesday night, you know, lat discomfort for Jared Jones. I said, they're going to shut him down. They're going to shut him down, and we won't see him till the All-Star break. And sure enough, what happened yesterday, Austin? They shut him down
on the 15-day IL.
15-day IL.
He won't pitch until after the All-Star break.
And now he won't pitch after the All-Star break. I told you at the start of the season with both him and Skeens, and this isn't anything that's breaking news, they were going to always err way on the side of caution with these two guys. So anybody that thinks that they're going to, you know, both pitch 150, 160, 170 innings, and, you know, every fifth day we're going to get a chance to see one or the other, was kidding themselves. So now he's out until after the All-Star break, which is, what, about 20 days, right? It's about 20 days from now is when their next game after the All-Star break. So their last game is July 14th. And then in the second half...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
The second half, the first game is July 19th. What's today's date?
5th.
So two full weeks, they'll have him out. And the beauty of it is, they'll probably, at that point, assess where they're at in the season. So, it won't shock me if we don't see them, because they have a homestand right after the All-Star break. It won't shock me if we don't see Jared Jones until they go to Arizona or Arizona-Houston, which would be at the end of July. Now, here's the thing about that. We've been sort of talking about the fact that it feels like the Pirates are sort of trying to run the clock out to get to the All-Star break and not be significantly ahead of where they're at now so they can say, well, we're not quite ready to win this year, so we're not going to unload the chamber and, you know, trade any of our prospects and try and, you know, make a run at the end. And this is probably another move. And again, if he's hurt, he's hurt. I heard the kid say, well, I'd be fine. I could have kept going. So, but if he's hurt, he's hurt. All I'm saying is, I told you at the beginning of the season, they would use an abundance of caution and that we would see a number of either injured list trips or skipped starts or whatever, and we would hear the word strain, discomfort, right?
Yeah, this is what Jared Jones had to say about that injury.
Kind of felt it later in the game. It kind of just got really tight on me in the fifth inning there, and told him, and so here we are.
Is that something just going to be a evaluation moving forward, get more details on it, probably starting tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you concerned about it?
No, I feel great. No, I mean, obviously not great, but it's nothing to be concerned with, I don't think.
Right. Seriously now.
Nothing to be concerned about, I don't think, but he goes to the injured list and will be shut down for about 20 days.
It is just absolutely ridiculous. To me, you know, and again, the easiest way to shut anybody down is to come up with discomfort, strain, right? What's the other word they use? Inflammation. And everything else. Here's my thing, Austin, and I really, really have started to come over to the other side here. If they're not going to go for it this year, if they're not going to try and get to the playoffs this year, they should sell Gonzalez, Perez, Chapman. They should sell all three of them at the trade deadline to try and get what they can. Because listen, three pitchers like that should bring you back. You should be able to get a couple of AAA guys who are like on the verge of being major leaguers, okay? And then if someone knocks your socks off for Bednar or Mitch Keller, you might go for it. Go for it.
You're not going
to
trade Mitch Keller.
Why not?
You just signed him to an extension and you want him as a top three horse in your rotation.
I get it, but here's the thing. If the motto is, well, we're going to do it, you know, soon, you know, over the next year or two, and you're going to hold on to your prospects like they're gold, don't you have two pitchers right now that are probably half a season away from being major leaguers that are allegedly your two best prospects? Don't you have those guys?
Yeah, but they're prospects. Can you truly bank on them when Keller's an all-star pitcher?
But that's the model. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about Keller. They're paying him $5 million this year. Next year it goes to $15
million.
Right. So my point is, you trade him, you got $15 million plus whatever you save on Gonzalez and Perez and Chapman for the rest of the year. And you know what? His value probably never be higher. I think about trading Tellez.
Well, yeah, he's on an expiring deal. I can understand Chapman. The Royals got a good piece back for him, a pitcher from Texas.
Those four guys are all on expiring deals.
Yeah, the expiring deals guys, I'd be fine with that. Anyone else, I would not.
Bednar, you've got a lot of young power arms. So his value to a contender probably would bring something back. You've got a lot of young power arms. Finding power arms nowadays in baseball is not hard, right? So my thing is, you've got a lot of good bullpen pieces. If you trade Chapman and Bednar and they bring back, you know, a really nice haul that of a couple of guys who maybe I have no interest in single-A prospects.
If you trade Chapman and you trade Keller, you're basically admitting that you're punting on next season as well.
No, not necessarily
next
season.
That is what that means.
Not necessarily next season.
Why?
Because
you're trading your number one, two starter and your all-star closer.
Who
you have under control for next year where you believe that you can
Bednar?
Actually make the playoffs.
Yeah, but
Bednar and Keller.
They've never had a hard time finding a power arm to be their closer.
To be a closer. No, they haven't.
They've got a lot of good young pitchers that, you know, with power arms. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Nicklaus kid by next year might be ready to be a closer. You know, he throws it hard. He's got it. You know, he's learning right now. And that's what this second half of the season would be for.
Well, Jose Hernandez was a power arm. Same thing with Ruanzi Contreras. Right. Look how they flopped out.
But I'm just saying.
Guys fail.
Those guys do. Yeah, they do from time to time. But if you start next year with Skeens, Jones, Chandler, you know, what's the other kid's name?
Solometto.
Yeah, as your four starters, you can always go out and get a fifth guy like a Perez or a, you know, Rich Hill or
Bailey
one of these
Falter
guys.
Should be their fifth.
Or
guy.
I'm sorry, Bailey Falter. I forgot all about Falter. I mean, if you think about it, you've got Falter, Skeens, and Jones. If Bubba Chandler is who they say, you know, we're supposed to believe he is, he's your four starter. You can go get a Perez or a Rich Hill or a, you know, Gonzalez or one of these guys. You can go get those guys anytime you want. There's two things the Pirates have actually been pretty good at. A, identifying and finding closers. And B, going to the dumpster to find a fifth starter or a sixth, you know, a veteran guy, a fifth starter, a guy maybe that was injured coming off injury so they can get him on the cheap, right?
Yeah, like Jose Quintana, Tyler Anderson.
Right.
Those type of guys.
And then, you know what? If they're not in it, flip them at the All-Star break. But you would hope that whoever they sign next year, they're going to actually have for the entire season. I mean, I think the ultimate example of that is Frankie Liriano.
Yeah.
You know, they got him. Everybody was kind of like, what the hell? You know, guess what? He had gone through a couple of years of, you know, I think he was where he was at, Minnesota or wherever he was at, had some bad, you know, some arm issues and, you know, was sort of a scrap heap guy that they got. And they ended up giving him a second contract.
Zangrilli said with Jeff this morning that he, I don't know if he said he views it or they view it internally as 2012, and that next season is viewed as 2025 is 2013, where they're close this year, but they're not there yet. They still have a little bit of growth that they still need to do before they truly understand their real potential. And if you get rid of Keller and you get rid of Bednar, that is a significant step back from reaching that potential, at least in my mind, which is why that is not even a thought that crosses my mind.
Well, again.
But Chapman, the other expiring guys, yes. If we get to the point where they're five under at the end or approaching the deadline, five or even six or even four, trade them off. Acquire pieces.
What if a team's willing to give you three of their top prospects for Keller?
I'd have to significantly think about it, but as nice as Bubba Chandler looks in Double A right now, I mean, we've seen the Nick Kinghams, the Jameson Taillons, partly because of injuries, but we've seen guys that were highly talented prospects flop out. The Will right. Craigs of the world, the Cole Tuckers of the world that we were told was going to be so good in the minors, they come up to the majors and look like they're on a different universe in a negative way and don't belong at all.
Well, that's just it. That's my point. I think honestly, yeah. Honestly, if this is the new company line that Bubba Chandler and these guys aren't going to be ready for next year, then trade them. My point is, next year's got to be a year where you're going to win.
Next year has to be the year that they win, and I just don't see why trading Keller is the best idea to be able to attain assets that are in what AAA that have to come up, and then you have the same approach as. You know, some of these younger guys where we think Nick Gonzalez might be the starting second baseman. Henry Davis has flopped out. Jack Sawinski is a younger guy, is not producing. That's just my struggle with prospects as much as we like to hoard them. As much as I like to hoard them,
that's
why
point.
Having established guys like Keller and Bednar right now to win, you don't get rid of what you have.
Well, put it this way. I would argue with you vehemently about Bednar.
Bednar I can be swayed on because he's a closer.
He's a closer.
But not Keller.
And they've found those guys, and they've got a lot of power arms. I'm saying if it can – and I'm not saying give them away by any stretch.
Right. Acquire good assets.
If someone comes and gives you and knocks your socks off with a trade offer for Bednar, you have to take it.
But look how depleted the Pirates' bullpen is right now without Bednar.
Right.
Holderman hasn't been as good.
But here's the thing. Again, if – you decide at the trade deadline that this is not the year to go for the playoffs, who gives a rat's ass who you bring out of the bullpen in the second half of the season? Who cares?
I think it's more about next season. knowing that you have Bednar for a couple more years under team control.
Right, but that's the thing. They've got a lot of power arms. And here's the other thing. They've been pretty good at going out and finding relievers on the market, too, that are cheap. You know, same kind of thing with starting pitching. My issue with the Pirates has not been trying to find or identify pitchers.
Yeah, they've done a good job of that.
They are terrible at developing hitters. They are terrible at it. To developing everyday players and developing hitters, they're terrible at it.
Who's the last very good everyday player that they've developed?
Probably
Andrew McCutchen.
Or Marte.
Or probably Marte, yeah. Polanco, no. The Colt Tuckers of the world, no. Nick Gonzalez, the book is still out. Henry Davis, who I still think is going to be a good player, we don't know. He's struggling and scuffling. Andy Rodriguez got hurt. Brian Reynolds was acquired from San Francisco. You can't count him.
Right. In fact, let's see. Yeah, Marte probably. I would think.
Yeah, it'd be Marte. When he came up in 12. Maybe Josh Bell. Probably, yeah. Bell would be the last one.
He's barely there. So, all I'm telling you is, I'm starting to get to the point now where if they're not going to win, or not going to try, and if they believe that this is not the year to go for the playoffs, then they might as well try and maximize what they have asset-wise. And make a few trades, you know. They certainly should sell off their expiring contract guys.
They're also going to get Johan Oviedo back next year.
Right.
From Tommy John. So another thing to consider.
And you know, again, if you trade Gonzalez and Perez, the second half of the season you have, you know, you still have Quinn Priester. You still have
Mike Burrows. And Ashcraft.
Ortiz.
Rotation next year, opening day, is probably Skeens starting, Keller, Jones, Johan Oviedo, and, I mean, do you have...
Falter.
Then probably Falter. Or maybe you put Falter in the bullpen and keep Ortiz in the bullpen and then somebody else.
Like, that's really what I'm saying.
I'd rather have that deep of a four-horseman starting rotation,
right,
though.
Right, but if Falter continues to do what he's done... You still have, at that point, you still have three young studs at the top of your rotation. You have Oviedo coming back, and you go fill in with another Martin Perez. I'm not saying they should trade Keller, but if someone gives them an offer,
they can't refuse.
That they can't refuse, they should probably think about it.
Which would have to be, at least in my mind, maybe not an established player, but like, let's say Baltimore was the hypothetical team that they would trade with, because Baltimore has a lot of very good major league players and a lot of good minor league guys that are being blocked by the major league players
right
now. So if they wanted to acquire like a Mayo from Baltimore, who's really good but is blocked, or some of the other younger guys that they have in a Keller type of situation where Corbin Burnes is on an expiring deal there in Baltimore, they're going to need another front-end starter. That would be one of the only realistic ways that I could look at it, because you're acquiring probably two bats back.
That's what I'm saying.
The price of one starter.
If you get two guys that are, you know, top prospects, that are AAA guys that aren't that far off from the major leagues, that are bona fide hitters,
it'd have to be that hefty of a price.
Right. I'm just saying, look at it like that, and go from there. Let's do one more quick one.
One second.
All right.
Grizzly Adams has gotten the best of us.
Why is that?
Well, he loves when we stall to be able to look things up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Is that your... I need you to crack one open.
That's what I'm trying to do. I don't know why it's playing that. Hold on. Well, I don't know.
Okay. One other thing from yesterday... what's really frustrating about yesterday's game is that you had a Cardinals team that did not play a Cardinals game. There we go.
Somebody edited the can opening noise to the computer sound.
Okay, well, that's...
I don't know.
That's ridiculous. So, you had the Cardinals team that did not play a Cardinals-like game. They gave away, in my estimation, probably three runs on the base pass with just stupidity. And then, in the 10th inning, they gave you a run, which that run would have scored anyway because the next two guys got hits, but still. My man in left field, what's his name, Donovan, made an unbelievable catch in the notch to rob Nick Gonzalez of an extra base hit. The problem is it was on the 10th, and there was a guy on second. He caught the ball, and he, like, celebrated, basically, and just sort of stood there, even though all his teammates were screaming and yelling, "You got to get the ball in. You got to get the ball in." And as a result, Michael A. Taylor scored all the way from second. I bring this up because I say the Cardinals didn't play a good game, and yet the Pirates still managed to lose to them. And they managed to lose to them because of the same things we always are talking about. They don't get timely hits. Their outs are usually not good outs. They don't move runners up. And City Limits, we talked to the manager the other day about playing small ball. Do you remember that?
I do.
Here's one thing I don't understand, and this is where these analytics guys are killing baseball. Killing baseball, okay? This whole thing where we're going to play for big innings. So we're not going to bunt. We're not going to sacrifice. We're not going to give up outs. We're not going to do all that stuff. When you have three or four guys in your lineup every single night who are hitting right at the Mendoza line or worse, why wouldn't you try and manufacture runs? I mean, no offense, but if Michael A. Taylor's up and there's a guy on second and there's less than an out, and there's nobody out, you have to bunt him. If there's a guy on first and there's no outs, you have to bunt him. As opposed to letting him strike out or, worse, hit into a double play. And the Cardinals had a couple of situations where the bottom of the last two guys in their lineup yesterday were awful.
Well, that Pajes guy in the bottom of the order is the one that drove in ultimately the game-winning run.
Right.
Michael A. Taylor had to dive out for the ball. The runner goes to second. Third run comes around to score. Ultimate difference in the game.
But the bottom two guys, this Furman is batting 130.
Yeah, not good.
And he came up with guys on, and I'm like, why are they letting this guy swing?
Well, MLB batting averages are atrocious this year.
But that's what I'm saying.
Before.
When you consider how bad batting averages are nowadays, and you consider how bad these teams are at hitting nowadays, please explain to me why small ball isn't more, not less, more of something that these teams value. Manufacturing runs. At the end of the day, we're going to play for the big inning. No, we're just going to have a lot of outs. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of bad outs, a lot of outs that leave the guy who was on first still at first, or leave the guy who was on second still at second. Just a lot of bad outs. I don't understand it. You should play small ball. You should try and manufacture runs. All the things that analytics wonks have taken out of the game because, you know, we got to play for home runs and big innings. It's ridiculous.
It seems like it's been forgotten about. Like the true meaning of small ball and how to play it.
Exactly.
I wonder how much they practice bunting. Like, I really do.
Very little.
Because it's such a home run heavy league and hitting the gaps and driving in runs that way. How many bunts have we seen the Pirates attempt this season?
But that's the point.
It has to be counted on one or two hands.
And why? Because analytics people have said, well, you should never give away an out.
Because you're giving away an out.
No. It's much better to have Michael A. Taylor or Jack Suwinski or these guys swinging out of their shoes trying to hit home runs and striking out or bouncing into double plays or popping out. No, that's much better. I get it. That's a much better plan. I mean, the one thing that Jim Leland did, probably better than any manager we've had, is manufacture runs. And people used to get crazy. And they were angry because he would bunt all the time. You know, if whoever was a leadoff got hit, usually Jay Bell would bunt him over to second, you know, no matter when it was in the game. And you know what? That's the way they played. But here's my thing. If you could manufacture one, could you imagine if this Pirates team manufactured one or two runs more a game than their, you know what I mean?
Well, they've had, I think, 20 starts where the starting pitcher has gone 20 or has gone six plus innings and they've lost.
Right. That's the point.
And they've lost.
That's the point. I'm just saying, if you can't play for big innings, manufacture runs.